I talked about a healthy church is marked by continual devotion to the Lord, right? It means that a healthy church is a church that is committed to read the Word of God and to worship Him, meaning we are committed to devote ourselves to Jesus. That's what it means. That's a healthy church. And today we're going to look at a healthy church. Another characteristic or another quality of a healthy church is that a healthy church is marked by a continual devotion to His people. To His people. So before we go into the Word, let me pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You for bringing us here together this afternoon to show our devotion to You, to worship You, to read Your Word, and to have fellowship. And this afternoon, as we look into this passage again in Acts 2, we pray that Your Spirit will open our hearts and minds to understand Your Word and to obey Your Word. And so we'll commit our time, commit our meditation to You, and trust that all that we do will be pleasing to You. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, a biblical church, a healthy church, is devoted to God's people. And here in, again, in chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, And then in 46, verse 46, jump down to 46, it says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts, right? So they were meeting together, they were breaking bread in their homes and ate together with sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And so one of the main characteristics of a church, a healthy church, is a church that is committed, right? Committed to gathering together. Because the word in this passage, the word fellowship, really is a Greek word called koinonia, right? It's a Greek word. You don't worry about that. And koinonia in Greek means to share in common. To share in common, meaning we are to gather together, to share together. And those who are believers come together and share together in fellowship. And it's not a one-time fellowship. It's a continual fellowship because they were breaking bread. They were meeting every day in the temple courts. All right? Of course, today, as a church, we only meet once a week, right? Once a week, we come here on Sunday, we meet together. Of course, I think you have fellowship as well, or small group meetings. And so you also meet once a week. And so that's great, because that is important. Meeting together is important. A church that does not meet together is not a church, right? How can you say, oh, I'm part of a church, but I don't go to church? And if you say you are a believer, then you are you're part of the body of Christ. And Christ is the head. And so you're part of the body, you belong to that body, which is here, right? Here we are the body of Christ. And so as a body, we gather together, continually in devotion. So what does it mean to be devoted to the fellowship? What does it mean to gather as a people, as God's people? And so I want to say a couple of things, and there are quite a number of points, so let me go through them. The first one is that to have true fellowship, right? To have a church like this, to have true fellowship, we must be truly saved. What do I mean? We must be truly saved, meaning that we have to be believers of our Lord Jesus, that you have salvation in Christ, that you have accepted our Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And you are saved. And you have eternal life. In fact, earlier, Maureen quoted a verse, right? John 3:16. Remember John 3:16? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's what it means. If you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have eternal life. You are saved. And so to have true fellowship, you have to be saved. Why do I say that? Because if you are not saved, if you are not a believer, you cannot have true fellowship. Because we will be different. If I'm not a believer and you're a believer, we believe in different things. And true fellowship can happen when we have different beliefs. Right? Does that make sense? And so if you want to have true fellowship as a church here, we have to be saved. All of us have to believe in Jesus and have a committed understanding who Jesus is And we have a relationship with Him. That's what it means. We must have a relationship with Him. And so here we see that in this passage, right? If you look at the end of the passage in verse 47, it says they were praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to the number daily those who were being saved. So again, there's this word called being saved. And those who come to the fellowship are being saved. Right? It's not about a gathering of non-believers. If it's a gathering of non-believers, it's not a church. It's just a social gathering, a social club. And so to have true fellowship, you must be saved. You have to be saved in order to be part of this fellowship. You have to be saved in order to be part of the body of Christ. That's what it means. The second point I want to suggest to you this afternoon is that to have true fellowship, a healthy church, to have true fellowship, you must be together physically. Physically. Why is it important to be physically together? You cannot have fellowship if you don't gather, right? How can you say, oh, we have true fellowship. We were so glad that we met each other, but we didn't see each other. We were not physically present. That it's not, it cannot happen. I know because of COVID, you know, because COVID has disrupted the church tremendously. Because of COVID, we don't meet, you know, during COVID, we don't meet, right? Because we don't want to get infected, we don't want to infect others. And so we were meeting at their home. All of us were meeting at separate homes through Zoom or through online meetings. But that is not true fellowship. That is not true fellowship. That is just a gathering and, you know, be able to see each other on the computer and just listening to the sermon. That is not true fellowship. True fellowship requires a physical presence. If you are not here present physically, you cannot have true fellowship. Because online fellowship is just one way to overcome the problem of COVID, right? It's not the ideal way of gathering. Unfortunately, today, many churches are still having online service. And so when there are online service in the church, what happens? I have the excuse of not going to church because I can turn on the computer and so-called worship God, right? And fellowship with God's people. That's unfortunate. That is not true fellowship. True fellowship requires a physical presence. In other words, we have to be present. Unless, of course, let's say you are sick, right? You're not able to come to church and you don't want to infect others because of the illness, then that's okay to have online worship at home. But that is not a permanent feature, right? It cannot be a permanent thing that you do. When you are well, then you come back to church. That's what it means. Because you cannot have true fellowship if you're not gathered. And here you notice here in this passage that they were gathering regularly. In fact, they were meeting every day in the temple courts, right? You cannot break bread in your homes and eat together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people if you're not present. I know later on this today, we're going to have a potluck, right? After the service. How many of you will be attending the potluck? Many of you, right? It's great. I mean, I want to go to the potluck. I mean, it's food, right? We all want to eat, right? How can you come to the potluck if you're not here? Oh, I want to go to the potluck on Zoom. Let's do it on Zoom. How are we going to do potluck on Zoom? How do we break bread on Zoom? It doesn't make sense. Because it requires your physical presence. And gathering together is required by our Lord, right? He wants us together. He wants us to be able to, in contact, in physical contact with each other. Because there are two levels of physical presence. The first is there is a spiritual presence. When you come together as a body, there is a spiritual presence. That you are present, not only physically, but there is a spiritual presence. Because there is the unity of the Spirit. The church is united in the Spirit, right? The Spirit gathers us. Because we are all baptized. Some of you are baptized recently. We are all baptized into the body of Christ. And there is a spiritual component in our gathering. It's not just the physical presence. There is a spiritual unity involved. That's the first level. The second level, there is a unity of faith in our gathering. Because we share the same faith. We believe in the same Lord. We believe in the same God. That's what it means. And to be able to come together and share the understanding and knowledge is important. So there are two levels of gathering, two levels of unity. First is the unity of the spirit. The second is the unity of the faith. And we need to be able to do that when we come together. Because the book of Ephesians, Paul talks about the unity that is important in the church. The church must be united. You cannot be division in the church. If there's division in the church, that is not good. Unfortunately, there are many, many churches who have infightings and divisions in the church. It is unfortunate. That is not a healthy church. A healthy church is a church that is united in the spirit and the faith, that comes together regularly, physically, to have fellowship together. The third point I want to point out this afternoon is that to have true fellowship, you must have heartfelt affection for one another. Right? The key word is heartfelt affection. We don't just come together for potluck, you know, come together to worship together, sing a couple of songs, you know, chit-chat, and then go home. There must be heartfelt affection involved, meaning there is relationship involved, meaning there is love involved. In other words, we come because we love each other. We come because love binds us together. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, Paul calls God as his witness, that he is called by God, and he's longing, right? Paul is longing in verse 7 and 8, he's longing for the Philippian believers. Paul is not just an apostle to them, but Paul loves them. Paul loves the Philippians, the church in Philippians, in Philippi. And because he loved them and they love him, there is that affection involved. I hope there are some, you know, we all have some affection for each other. That you come because you really feel some affection. Not because, oh, you know, I just come for the service and then I'll go home. Right? We come, there is that love for each other. There's friendship. There's that mutual, you know, sharing of love. And love binds us together. God's love and love for one another. Affection means there is attachment. Affection means there is devotion. Affection means there's love. That's what it means. It emphasizes the emotional aspects of the gathering. It's not just for the program, but for the people. Because affection means that we want to be engaging each other emotionally. Not just physically, but also emotionally. And we share love. We love God and we love each other. That's what it means. Paul, actually, in many of his epistles, when he wrote to the church in his epistles, he actually unashamedly shared his emotional affection. You know, we Chinese people are quite not very good with affection, right? Especially men, Chinese men. I grew up in a very traditional Chinese family. My father has never shown affection to me all my life. Never. Because he doesn't know how to do it. I'm sure he loved me very much. I'm sure he loved me and he provided everything that I needed. But he has never hugged me nor say, I love you. And share or show any emotion of love to me or to my sisters as well. And I have not seen him show affection to my mom too. But this is the culture, right? This is, he was brought up in a culture. But that's not good. That's not good. I think we should learn, right? Even as sometimes maybe it's hard, it can be hard, but we have to learn to show emotional affection to each other, especially within your family, right? Husband, show your affection to your wife, and the wife show affection to your husband. Usually, women tend to be more open, more able to do that,
Show your affection to your children. Don't just teach them. Don't just rebuke them. But show them that you love them. I love them very much. And the same way in a church, we need to do that too. Right? We need to show affection. We need to say, oh, I really love you. I care for you. You are very important to me. And I want to be able to connect with you. Right? So that's what affection means. Because without affection, there is no true fellowship. It will be just a gathering of people for the program. Again, what happens is that in a church, often an unhealthy church, there are sins involved, right? Sin divides us rather than unites us. When we harbor sin, when we harbor hatred, or we harbor grudges, it divides us. And that the fellowship that we have is broken. That's why in a church, in the context of the church, a healthy church, there must be, you know, a forgiveness. You see, when we live together, when we come together as a church, there will be, you know, tension sometimes. Because we're all different. Right? I have my ideas, you have yours. I like to do certain things my way, you have to do certain things your way. And so there may be friction amongst us. That's okay. Frictions are okay. Because if we learn to love each other, we can learn to overlook those frictions. Right? And if there is conflict involved, or if there's sin involved, then we have learned to forgive. Forgiveness is important. You see, if somebody wrong you or say something you know, negative about you and you heard about it and you get upset and then you bear grudges, you do not want to go and reconcile, then what happened? That relationship is broken. A broken relationship is not a healthy church, right? So we need to learn to forgive, we need to reconcile, we need to come together and say, yeah, you know, sorry, I've said something against you, I'm so sorry. And you have to accept the confession and also accept and to forgive. And forgiveness is very important in a healthy church. And of course, the other things that divides us, all right? It could be race. Of course, here we are all Chinese. That's not an issue. But if you go to a multicultural church, there are different cultures. They can divide the church too, right? It could be, you know, educational background, right? Some people are more educated than others. Or occupation can divide us too. Right? And it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be that way. The church should not have all these barriers. Because we are all together in Christ. We are united in Christ. As I said earlier, we have to have the unity of the Spirit and faith. And we need to show that to each other when we gather. And we need to show, develop a heartfelt love for the brothers and sisters that we come together for. That's what's important. A true fellowship must have heartfelt affection for one another. The next one I want to also suggest to you is that to have true fellowship, we must share together in the things of God. In the things of God. Here, in fact, in the verse 44, right? So all the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling the possessions and goods, they gave to anyone he had need. And then if you go further down to chapter 4, same book in Acts, chapter 4, verse 32, we read, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. They shared everything. So there must be a sharing, right? An attitude of sharing. Sharing of things, right? And of course, not just physical things, but also things of God. Right? Things of God. True fellowship involves sharing together. Here they shared meals, right? They were eating together in their homes. They were enjoying each other's company. They were sharing material things. Those who did not have, they shared those to those who have, gave it to those who don't. And so there were mutual sharing. That is a true fellowship, a church, right? But also there were sharing of the things of God. What does that mean by things of God? Too often Christians gather together and spend the whole time talking and chatting and eating, but does not talk and did not talk about God. That's not Christian fellowship. When you gather as a group, as a church, there must be times of sharing things of God, right? About your experience in God. I wish we can come together each time when you gather that you share your experience with God in the past week, right? Oh, last week I had this experience. God was present with me, and I almost got into an accident, but God avoided, you know, protected me. That's the things of God. Testimony of your experience with God. Do you do that? It's not just, oh, you know what, last week I went to this restaurant, it was so fantastic, I love the food, you know, I wish we could. Next time I'll bring you there. And you only talk about food, talk about weather, talk about cars, talk about whatever, except God. That's not true fellowship. Right? True fellowship includes sharing of things materially and things of God. And of course, food is involved. Food and fellowship is important. And that's part of our tradition. And we have to do that too. And here, it's not just the food that they were eating and enjoying. They were doing what we call the Holy Communion. Right? The Lord's Supper. They were breaking bread. And they were praying. Together. That's what happens. I'm glad that we have prayer today. Right? If a church, you go to a church and no prayer is done. You go to a service and the pastor did not pray, the members did not pray, and then you finish your worship and you go away. There was no prayer. Is there a church? I wouldn't go to that church. Or if the pastor is not preaching the word of God, then I wouldn't go to that church. He's talking about his life, he's talking about soccer game, whatever, maybe the Olympics, whatever, and nothing about the word of God. That is not a church. Things of God. To have fellowship, we must share together also, not just material things and things of God, we must share in our need for each other, right? Need, right? Not just need means, of course, material need, but also emotional need. Emotional need, right? So if I see somebody who is discouraged in a church, what do? Do you ignore them? Do you say, oh, you know, God will take care of them? Or do you go and encourage them? Sharing me, right? Sharing that you go and bring your encouragement to them. If you see somebody who is discouraged, down, and you can tell, right? Because you care enough to observe. If you don't care, then you won't know. But if you care, you will know. And if you know, then you will act. You act to go and encourage. Some of us are gifted in the gift of encouragement. Use that gift. Right? Use that gift. Exercise that gift of encouragement. But those who doesn't think that they have the gift of encouragement, it's not an excuse. Doesn't mean, oh, you know, I don't have the gift of encouragement, so I'm not going to do it. I won't do it. No. You still can do it. You still can go and encourage. Right? You can put a hand around them. You don't even have to talk. Often, you know, encouragement doesn't require a lot of talking. Of course, talking is good. But sometimes when you talk too much, it's bad. Right? Remember the story of Job in the Old Testament? Job had tremendous, terrible things happen to him, right? His family, his children were killed. His wealth was all gone. His health was gone. And what happens? His friends came and talked to him, thinking that they were encouraging him. But they talked too much. In fact, they were not encouraging Job at all. They were discouraging him. The best way to encourage someone is to just be alone with them. Stay with them and be alone. Only when they ask you, then you give encouragement. Often there's no need to talk. There's no need to say what you think is good for them. All right? Just be with them, sit with them, spend the time with them. Because by doing that, they know that you care and you love them. So it looks like there's a lot of things, right? There's a lot of points that I mentioned. How many? I think at least 5 or 6 points that I mentioned. The characteristic of a healthy church has all this. But that doesn't mean that if one is missing, you're not healthy. Obviously, we should have all.
All these characteristics, and the more the better, right? And as a church, we need to strive, right, to have all these characteristics, because a healthy church is important. A healthy church will be a fruitful church, because at the end of this passage, he says what? And the Lord added to the number daily those who are being saved. Can you imagine if this group, the early church, they didn't have all this? They were not healthy. You think the Lord will add to their numbers? If you think that this church, MCLCC, will grow and attract people to come when we don't have all these characteristics, I don't think so, right? But when we have all these characteristics as a church, you know what happens? We will attract a lot of people, non-believers, to come. They'll be wondering, what's going on there? Something is happening there. Something that is precious. I want to have it too. And you see, you notice that this passage, although it's very brief, this passage did not mention that they actually went out to share the gospel. It was not mentioned here. They were just gathering together. They were just having a lot of good fellowship, eating and praying and devoting themselves to the teaching and all this. And then what happens? The Lord just added to them the numbers daily. It's natural. Because if there's a healthy church, the healthy church will grow. Right? A church that is not healthy will not grow. That's a given. If you are not healthy, you will not grow. But if you're healthy, you will naturally grow. You don't have to do much, you will grow because you're healthy. If you eat healthy, if you exercise, you know, if you do the right thing, you will grow. Because growth is a natural thing. Growth is a given. So like a church, spirituality is the same. A healthy church will have healthy growth. And many will be added. You see, we live in a world where there's a lot of unhealthiness. This world is filled with a lot of things that are not healthy. And we have to be careful. We have to be careful what we do, what we see, what we read, what we do. Because there's so many things that will distract us from being healthy, especially as a church. We can get distracted by a lot of things in the church, right? We can get distracted by, you know, saying, oh, you know what? I wish we have a bigger room. I wish we have better, you know, sound system. I wish we can have, you know, better programs. I wish we can have this, we can have that. These are all distractions. But if we all come together and healthy and work together in unity, and everybody plays a part in the church, that church will be healthy. Right, so we are committed, right? A healthy church is committed to his people, God's people. It's not just committing to the word of God and to worship. Also has to be committed to each other. If you are not committed to each other, you can have the best Bible study, the best worship in the world. But if you are not committed to each other, there is no unity in the spirit and faith. The church will not grow. The church will not be healthy. Similarly too, if you have a good fellowship, everybody is so affectionate and everybody is just, you know, wanted to come to the meeting, but no teaching of the word of God, there is no real worship, that is not a healthy church too. You might as well go to a club, right? You might as well go to a social club. Sometimes social clubs may be better. They have better programs. Of course, you pay money for it, right? They may have better programs, better leaders, and so on. But that's not what it means. That's what it's all about. A healthy church is a church that is devoted to his word, to worship, and to his people. Next week, I'll be talking about a healthy church is marked by a continual devotion to God's work. God's work. What is God doing in our midst and in the world? And I'll do that. I'll give you some pointers as to what it means to be devoted to doing God's work. Because God is at work all the time. In fact, in this passage, God is at work. Remember, I told you earlier, last week, that 3,000, right? 3,000 believers were added. After Paul, after Peter preached the gospel, 3,000 came to Christ. That is not the work of Peter. Of course, Peter preached a good sermon. But it was the work of the Holy Spirit that resulted in the 3,000 conversion. Without the Holy Spirit, there is no conversion. And so although Peter and the apostles work at it, but ultimately credit goes to God. And next week, I will talk about what is God doing in Canada as well as around the world. And I hope you're excited about that, because God is doing tremendous things in the world today, in you and in me. And together we can do God's work. Let me pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. Your word is so important to us. Without your word, we will not know who you are and what you're doing. But because of your word, we can know you more intimately, and to know you more deeply, so that when we know you more, we will be able to worship you more intimately. And because of that too, it motivates us to come together as one body, to fellowship, to know what it means to have true and healthy fellowship. Because it involves not just the presence, the physical presence, but also the spiritual presence and the emotional presence, that we learn to express true devotion to each other. And we are devoted regardless. Whatever that may divide us, whatever that may cause us to be divided, we pray that you will remove them. That we are committed to not allow any division to come between us. That we are devoted to each other. So again, bless this fellowship, bless this church, that through their efforts and to all that they do, that they seek to devote themselves to you more and more, that you will add to this church daily or weekly or monthly or even yearly those that are being saved. May this be true in the coming years. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.